Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to open this episode a little bit differently because I am sitting in a Hawker Hunter. And I am very, very happy indeed. And it's a live one. It is a J11, I think, he says. That's probably a bit wrong. But this is one of the classic British jet collections running. Classic British jets, really. So later in the show, you're going to hear it running. We're going to do a whole thing where basically it's a few interviews and then a lot of noise on this podcast, everybody. So please be ready for that.
Welcome to the Damcasters, brought to you in association with the Pima Air and Space Museum. I'm your host, Matt Bone.
Mainly for this intro, I'd like to thank the team here, Dave Thomas and Mark Etienne, for inviting me down. You're not going to hear from them today, but you're going to hear from some of the other members of the team talking about some of the aircraft, what they do here. And then, like I said, lots of noise. But it's been a fantastic day. The sun has been out. This beauty that I'm sitting in now was fired up and turned petrol into noise, which is just what you want for these sorts of things. So, without further ado, I'll hand you over, but I'm going to have a bit of a due because I'm just going to explain this if you've not sat in a Hunter before. The Hunter is Hawker's, in my mind, masterpiece jet fighter. Yeah, everyone talks about the Harrier, but for me, this thing is just the most incredible thing. It's been in service for years. It's still used as an aggressor aircraft now, but it's just right. The lines are right. I'm sitting in the cockpit now, and I'm 6'1". And a little bit more weight than I should be, so it's not ideal. So, for example, my shins are catching the bottom of the instrument panel, but it's funny, you look around it, and there's a lot of dials in here. So the undercarriage indicator off to my left, things like that, would not be out of place in a typhoon or a tempest. But it's just really tidy, and everything is in easy arm. I was sat in the Sea Vixen they have here earlier, and it looks like they've just thrown a bunch of stuff together for that one. But here, it has a place and it works. But then again, I'm sat here also in a Hawker t-shirt, so there's that. But like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope this episode, we're going to come back for a future episode, sit down with Dave and discuss the collection here, how it came about, play around some more of the aircraft, and a little bit more of a one-to-one. It's just a bit of a busy day with a near full house and the air cadets here crawling all over everything, but that is what we're going to do. So, like I said, I don't think I'm going to have any issues. I could just sit here and tell you just how wonderful this is for another minute, actually.
Okay, so, Hawker Hunter cockpit. There we go. Control comm in front of me. Selectors, safe selections, trigger on the side, brakes on the back, I guess. I don't know. Flying panel there, all the usuals. Down here on the right, radios, various modes, things like that. Fuel gauges, oxygen gauge back on there, anti-G, the G-suit things down there, emergency settings, harness on the side there with a little map box down the bottom. Oil pressure, compass. Then over here, flap control. I think that's the canopy jettison. Undercarriage indicators, and the most wonderful undercarriage display there, which, let's face it, I don't think a Hawker's changed ever. Down over here, throttle, radio button, jet provost firing up over there. Back in here, flaps, low pressure cock, and the bits on the bed. And then if we just have a look around, incredible visibility from it, because you're nice and forward in the aircraft and you're not really having too much intrusive. No gun sight or anything in there, but this aircraft is a live one, so all of this good stuff works, and it was running earlier.
There's not really a lot of room, but I don't want to get out, and I have to get on the road in a minute because I'm recording this at the end of the day. But now I'm in this thing, I'm a happy boy. But it may be the end of my day, but it's just the beginning of this episode. So we'll hand it over now, and maybe we'll start with some noise. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the edit. Catch you later. Okay, tell me your name.
Good Brian sir. Johnstone.
Well, Brian, we're stood next to your lovely vixen here. What's her story?
Well, I joined the Navy in 1967, and in 1968 ended up at Yeovilton working on the Sea Vixen.
And it's one of those aircraft that is sort of mixed history. It had sort of inauspicious start with poor old John Derry at Farnborough,
but yeah,
then
sure.
Went on to a long service with the Navy.
It did, yes. I mean, it lost the contract with the RAF that went to the Javelin, and the Navy decided to take up the Sea Vixen. The Sea Vixen was much the better aircraft over the Javelin, and obviously they developed it over the years. This is a Mark II. They started with a Mark I. The significant difference that is visual is these large extensions to the booms. Mm-hmm. And with the Mark II, they contain a mixture of fuel, plus behind the fuel, extra electronics for the Red Top missile, which was the major modification between the one and the Mark II. The Mark I flew with Red Firestreak missiles, but the Mark II had the updated Red Top missile, but could still also fly with Firestreak if they wanted to.
So its primary role, fleet defence?
Fleet defence. It also had a strike capability. It could carry a range of bombs, rockets and missiles. And it was even a nuclear capable aircraft.
It's one of those ones that is sort of talked about mostly because of its looks, isn't it? Because it is one of those typically, being a Canadian, an eccentric British design.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's the granddaddy of the twin boom aircraft from de Havilland, with the Vampire, then the Venom, and then their much bigger grandfather, the Sea Vixen.
I remember as a young chap seeing the flying one doing its displays back in the day before its tragic accident. But for you working with this one now, what's she like? She's still temperamental, or?
Oh, very. very complex aircraft. And, of course, this one particularly, it sits out all day in the weather, so you're always battling corrosion, you know, which plays havoc with cable systems and things like that. So, this one is difficult to maintain over one that's, regularly maintained and kept in a nice warm hangar.
The history on this particular aircraft, what's her story specifically, as opposed to just Vixen in general?
Well, she served with the 899 squadron in HMS Eagle, but then around about 1968 she was withdrawn from naval service as a frontline aircraft and went to Boscombe Down as a development aircraft. So it was used in the development of the Martel missile. And there are a few modifications you can see on the aircraft to do with that, such as the camera nose and also the waveguides that you can see from the back of that pylon running down the underside of the wing and then down the side of the booms. So it's a bit of a hybrid aircraft, because although it's a Mark II, it didn't go on to have the Mark II style frangible hatch. It's got the original Mark I hatch, but it is a Mark II aircraft, so it's a bit of a one-off.
It's a special one for all that extra development history in there as well. And,
yeah.
And now she's here ready to turn petrol into noise sometimes.
Well, hopefully, yes. I mean, at the moment, one engine is good to go, but the other engine is reluctant to start. So we're probably going to have to do a burner change. We have the burners. It's just finding the time now to take the engine out, switch burners, put it back in, and then hopefully try it again and see if that kills the problem.
And the engines are what?
Rolls-Royce Avon. We just heard the camber start. That's Rolls-Royce Avon. And so is this Rolls-Royce Avon. They're all slightly different marks, but in otherwise it's the same engine. Yep. And the one in the Sea Vixen is the most powerful of all the Avon range of engines that are unreated. The Lightning has Avons as well, but the 310 comes with reheat, which makes them more powerful. The Sea Vixen, 11,500 pounds of thrust, whereas the Hunter would be something like 8,000 pounds of thrust.
We were chatting earlier, your career took you onto the Phantom afterwards. What's the quirks of, say, an American aircraft versus a British one that you sort of noticed?
Very much easier to maintain.
Right.
Quick release couplings, for instance, for the ground hydraulic rigs to connect to, as opposed to Avery couplings, they're called, on the Sea Vixen. Very difficult to undo and do up, because you need a C-spanner, and while you're doing it, it usually pours hydraulic fluid all over you while you're doing it.
And it's good old-school hydraulic fuel that sort of burns and corrodes and gets
everywhere. It's the same fluid in all these military jets, OM-15, but yes.
Fun times. Super. Well, good luck with the engine change, and we hope to hear a burst into life sometime.
Next time, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Super. We're going to take a quick break so that we can get the latest from the Pima Air and Space Museum with Head of Collections, Andrew Bowley.
Here at the Pima Air and Space Museum with our Fairchild A-10 Thunderbolt II, or Warthog. The A-10 was designed specifically as a tank buster ground attack aircraft. It's one of those aircraft that's kind of has pretty good story. I mean, people either really love this aircraft because it's kind of unique. I mean, they got a titanium bathtub that the pilot's sitting in to protect him. Got a 30-millimeter Gatling gun that fires 4,200 rounds per minute, which means they can run out of ammo pretty quickly, short bursts. Could carry a slew of different types of weapons. And it's been upgraded over the years. These early A models had really kind of limited sensors and targeting equipment. It was kind of really kind of brute force. But over the years, they've upgraded them and made them more adaptable for night combat and firing more high-tech weapons. It's an aircraft that, to be fair, the Air Force has often tried to get rid of, which is why I think A-10 pilots are kind of a unique breed of pilots, because they kind of always feel like they're the ones that the Air Force is, you know, they're not flying the pointy fast jets and stuff like that. But, you know, in Desert Storm, and then again in the Middle East, the A-10 really proved itself. You know, the A-10 was often the aircraft that ground troops would call in specifically when they needed ground support. Sometimes just the A-10 coming in, firing its cannon in quick burst was enough to disperse enemy forces. But, and also here in Tucson, Arizona, we are kind of what they consider the spiritual home for the A-10. Davis-Monthan Air Force Base has always been the training base and the big base for A-10s. That has allowed us over the years to, you know, foster a lot of good relationships with A-10 pilots. Another interesting exhibit we have here is the Bing, which is all the stuff that they brought back from Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. They essentially had their own little pilots club. So all the patches that they would leave and unit memorabilia was brought back here for us to recreate a kind of display of their officers club. So the A-10 here is kind of the heart of our Arizona aviation exhibit for good reason.
To learn more about what is on display and what events are coming up at the Pima Air and Space Museum in Tucson, Arizona, please do check out their website at www.pimaair.org.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, back to the show. Okay, cool. Right, so if you can give me your name.
Yeah, I'm Christian. I've been here 4.5 years now. Started at 14, doing basically holding spanners, because I wasn't old enough to do anything. First day I was here, Dave chucked me in the JP and ran it, which was trial by fire and ignited it, really. I've not stopped coming since, and I love it. More recently, along with Julian, one of the volunteers, I've been doing a lot of more physical maintenance stuff. So we've been doing a lot on the Venom, done a lot on the Meteor, just fixing stuff and making sure it's all working properly. And then I've ran and taught how to run the JP and the Meteor as well. So that's top end. I never thought I'd get to do that ever, so I enjoy it.
So what brought you into it in the first place? Was it love of aircraft or just chance, really?
I always liked looking at them, but it was always from afar, and it was pure chance that my mum found Dave's phone number from a friend. I gave him a call when I was 14 and said, I need volunteering for my DOV. Can I come down? He said, yeah, of course. And then it's all spiralled from there, for good or bad.
So you've sort of... Hotel California, you've got in and you can't leave.
Yeah, that's what Dave always says. We've got you now, you're not allowed to leave. But I wouldn't choose to. I love it.
It does seem like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's days like this open day, top end. This is what we work for to get because we run them often enough, just closed doors, only people here, and it's good, but to have the public here and enjoy it, and we can get that income back to keep them running for a lot longer, it's, there's nothing beating it.
So what's the complications of having a load of us oiks hanging around trying to get into a good place to get a photo?
Logistics of moving cars and people is the big one. To have, I think we've got 120 cars or so here, and trying to get them through one double gate, and that's the only exit as well, is quite strange. Ben's done a brilliant job with that. But then moving people around when we have to move, because we're in such a small area, it's everyone's got to move to one place so we can move an aircraft, and then they'll move back, and then every time an aircraft moves, everyone else has got to move, and it's just trying to get that done, pain in the arse.
So, of the collection, what's your favourite to play with?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Yes. Sophie's choice, come on.
I like the Hunter visually.
Good answer, and we'll move on. That's my favourite too.
I like the Hunter. I've got to say, no one else likes it, really. I like the Venom, but that's because I've done the most on it. I've learnt a lot from Julian on the Venom, so it's got a bit of a different place to me. But
and you had your head in it all morning as well.
Oh, yeah. Trying to fix things, last-minute problems that come up. Always have, but pain in the arse.
So, okay, so what's why is the Hunter, which is my favourite jet of all time, why is that so problematic?
Size of it, almost. It's big, but it's not, and you get a lot of the Teleflex cable for the LP and HP cock is annoying because it seizes really easily. So you've just got to constantly grease it, and we went through a big stage of, we don't know what's wrong, take the engine out, which is a big job. Can't find anything, put the engine back in, won't work, take the engine out, until we started more regularly doing the grease gun on the Teleflex. But even then, you can leave it a month, do it once, and it will still be stiff. You've almost got to do it weekly to get it working. So it's a pain, but it looks good enough that we don't care.
Yeah. And which one's the bastard of the group? Or are they all lovely and we're just going to be nice about them?
Well, yeah, they are all lovely. The Sea Vixen's the...
Yes.
That ran once. I've seen it run once. And that was only on one engine. Because there's been a problem with that engine for about 15 years. Mm. Still not sorted it. Hopefully, that'll be this year. And there'll be another day for just be us, Sea Vixen. Hopefully invite some public down for the second time it runs. Because it will be... still one of the only running Sea Vixens in the world, I think. So
yeah.
When that starts running, that will be a big crowd draw, I think.
Yeah.
But it's getting it running, it's a long way to go.
It's a big lump to get in and around. And
unfortunately, we've unfolded the wings and we've still not folded them back up. If they were folded up like it would be on an aircraft carrier, it would move easily. But yeah, that's for after this open day.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to come back for that. Christian, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you.
What's your name, sir?
It's Benjamin Belbin.
And what is your role here?
I'm a volunteer with the Classic British Jet Collection.
How did you get involved with this bunch of fantastic people and their fantastic toys?
So the original story is I came here with my father for an open day in 1993.
And you never left?
Pretty much, yeah. Aviation was the bug the hobby. I built model planes and all that sort of stuff. And then had to, you know, go to work and other things got involved. And then I sort of started building model aeroplanes again. I actually built Dave's Hunter and put it on Facebook, and which invited me down one Saturday to see the aircraft run, which to me was just fantastic, because I didn't have to pay to come into Bruntingthorpe to see an aeroplane run, so that was always quite a nice bonus. However, in Dave's traditional, subtle way, right, put your name and address here and I'll see you next week. And I was there, and I have been pretty much every Saturday for the past 6.5 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, I should really get more hobbies.
This is a pretty good hobby.
It's okay. Yeah. It's great in the summer. It's awful in the winter. And at Bruntingthorpe, there is more winter than there is summer.
I can imagine, yeah. It's we got a lovely day for it today. It's not rained yet.
Not yet. It's threatening, but we will see.
It's April.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. So for a day like today, this is first open day since the other side of the pandemic, I suppose.
So, yeah, this is the first open day on this site, and it's also the first open day since we were on the old site in 2019, I believe, the August, I believe it was. So, yeah, everything's changed. For the better or the worse, we will see.
So the move over here, you've got a decent amount of space for all the aircraft. What goes into putting together the plan for a day like today? Because you got old aircraft, lots of noise, lots of smoke, lots of people.
Yep.
How long has this day been in the planning?
So originally, it was always the idea of having an open day here. The Lightning guys tested the water with their Twilight run, but they only ran one aeroplane and it wasn't moved around the public, it was static. So we knew it could be done. A lot of planning and a lot of measuring, a lot of paperwork, just by the sheer volume of making sure that the public are safe and briefed, because the dynamics have changed, and also the teams have had to adapt to this as well, and we've had to get paperwork involved, because if I didn't go down that route, nobody would have an open day. And I want this place to be here for the next 35, 40, even longer years, so it's imperative that we do it right, and it's baby steps today. It's gone really well so far. Parking has been an issue, but not as big an issue as I thought it would be. But yeah, there's a lot of planning. It's also, from our maintenance side of things, running the aircraft, working on them, on the pan in front of the queue shed, we know roughly what would be the best one to run first and then sort of fall through the order. And then the Lightning guys drag theirs out and that runs, because it's at that point the pan's clear, they put theirs away. So it's just looking at it with a sympathetic eye of how the day's going to progress.
And it's been a lot of fun, a lot of noise, which is great. And, of course, raffled off the back seat in the Meteor, which is going next, which seems to go really well.
Yeah, that's gone really well. Raffling off the Meteor was an idea I've had for a while. It gives back to people. It's an idea that other teams have done. And it seems to have worked quite well.
Good. I didn't win.
No. I'm a bit disappointed as well, because I've not actually been in the back either. I've been at the front and started it, though, so I shouldn't really complain
too
much.
That's more fun. You can't have it all your own.
I've only done one engine, though. They won't let me loose with two.
Oh, now I'm really jealous. So, it's, yeah, like we were saying, it seems to be a popular one. I guess this is a good sign for more of these events in the future.
It is certainly looking promising. As we increase the car park, we can sort of make things flow a little better. It's very promising. I'm not going to commit just yet, because we've still got another 3.5 hours to go. However, it's all good news from what I've seen around. So
we're going to do the Sophie's Choice question.
Okay.
Which is your favourite of the collection to play around with and fire up on a day like today?
So, my
the answer is Hunter.
The answer is a single seat GA11 Hunter, because it just looks right and you sit in it and everything falls to hand. It feels right. It sounds great. It's got the cartridge start, so it's that impact. Mm. It's really, really something to see. And as you've seen earlier, it's quite loud as well.
I adore the Hunter. He says, undoing his top as he's got a Hocker t-shirt underneath. But it, you're right, it just looks right.
And it does.
And same sort of thing when you're in it, you don't feel that your hands have to travel very far for any of this.
A lot of aeroplanes, I mean, I'm looking at the Sea Vixen now, and that, when you sit in that, looks like they've put the instruments in with a shotgun. The Hunter.
I can get in the Sea Vixen better than I can the Hunter, though.
Get to your question. Yeah, it's going to be the Hunter of any guys.
Yeah,
but a single seat GA11 is pretty much the best it can be.
I can't argue with you there. there's no bribery, ladies and gentlemen, for this one. And I guess as we're stood next to it, the plan for the Sea Vixen is to hopefully finally get her back.
Yeah,
going again.
So one of the engines works, and it works brilliantly. The other engine,
not so much.
The other engine has some niggles. Hopefully we can get to the bottom of them, and she's well overdue a repaint. But because of her sheer size, she sort of just gets pushed back in the list of aircraft to fettle with. But I'd say at least 80% of the systems all work.
It is box office, though, when it does work. I remember the flying one a little while ago before her accident.
She
was just something else to see.
Never saw it fly,
didn't
unfortunately,
you?
No.
I'm showing my age to be able to say that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm 35 in August, so...
Bus a babe.
I look probably 405.
But yeah, so it's... That'll be a fun day. Double engine run would be on the cards.
Well, the plan for all the aircraft that we have in restoration, etc., are that we will offer a dedicated day, whereas that is the star of the show, and we will, you know, run it maybe once or twice, and the public can come in. And we did it for her birthday. I think it was her 60th on the airfield, and we ran the Venom. We had a de Havilland Tiger Moth fly in. We had the de Havilland Comet that's on site, because it was a bit of a de Havilland day, and then the Sea Vixen ran, admittedly on one engine. But that's the plan. We have other things in the pipe work.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. We'll go around here.
Oh. People don't believe I'm here if there's not noise going on in the background.
It's too sterile. Is that all right for you?
Oh, that's fine, yeah. But it'll be a day. You know, we've just come around the back of the Vixen, and it's those classic to have in the lines. Yeah, the Venom has the same on the back as well.
Very similar, yeah. Yeah.
But it'll be great when you guys get that one happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of sourcing parts. You can't just pop down to Halfords and get bits and bobs for this, although we do seem to have quite the collection of aeroplane bits, so who knows. And she's overdue a repaint. We'll get all that sorted. She'll be absolutely amazing.
Wonderful. Today's been great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
No worries. Thank you very much.
That was a lot of fun to record up at Bruntingthorpe with the team from the Classic British Jets collection. I've put the links to the Classic British Jets Facebook and Instagram pages for all the information for the team is there and when their next open day will be, which is worth checking out because they have got a fantastic collection of aircraft up there. So they've got the Sea Vixen, which we talked about, which is XJ494. She didn't run the glorious Hunter GA11 WT806, which... oh my goodness, she was beautiful. The Jet Provost, which didn't really run, it tried to run while I was recording the intro, and the engine basically overspan, and they shut it down pretty quickly. And of course, the glorious Venom with that beautiful Ghost 103 turbojet, designed by the same guy who did the Napier Sabre as well, which is always well worth mentioning. They've got a fantastic collection of aircraft. I'll be sure to share when their next open day is. And of course, we're hoping to head up there soon. So many thanks to Mark Etienne, who got in touch with me and extended the invite on behalf of Dave Thomas. And of course, to the guys we interviewed, I can't thank them for their time enough. Now, as always, I cannot thank everybody enough for their support of the podcast. You're all ace. Remember, stick some stars into your podcast app of choice. If you are on Apple Podcasts listening to this, please do leave a review and some stars. It does help things move up and down the charts quite nicely. And of course, the best way to share this is tell all your friends, because your friends need to join us. We're not quite a cult, but it would be nice if we ended up there. If you fancy supporting the podcast more directly, there is, of course, Patreon, and you can become a Damcasteer, which is really a thing, for just £3 a month plus VAT. There's a few more tiers that gets you some stickers and things, but everybody gets a little welcome pack from me with a signed thank you card from the fantastic aircraft team. But that's it for this week. Next week, we return to the Empire Flying Boats with Phil Vabre. We start looking more about the operation of them and what happened when the Second World War broke out. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening. And as always, do take care of yourselves. The Damcasters is hosted and produced by Matt Bone and is a Boney Abroad podcast production. To learn more about our podcast and check out our previous episodes, head to www.thedamcasterspod.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.